Welcome. I'm Halcyon, and this is Hug Nation. Today I want to talk about loneliness. I was recently on a phone call with my friend Ani, and she was talking about a new company that she is working on, a new project called SoulPods, soulpods.org. And as she was explaining her motivation for this project, she was talking about this loneliness epidemic and how many people are lonely in this country. And pointed me to some studies, like a Cygnet study that just came out said that over 50% of Americans say that they are lonely. And at first, as she was talking, I was listening with the air of someone who has it all together and thinking of possible ways that I could offer solutions for those poor lonely people. Look at all the lonely people. And as she was talking more, I started to realize, wait a minute, quite often, I'm lonely. And I had the total shift of my headspace as I was looking at lonely people until realizing I am one of the lonely people. And maybe you are one of the lonely people. And just because you have friends and you have Facebook connections and even social events, and that does not mean that you are immune to loneliness. In fact, another study said that the more you use social media, the more lonely people feel. And here's a crazy thing that the Surgeon General just said, that loneliness and weak social connections are associated with a reduction in lifespan similar to that caused by smoking 15 cigarettes a day. And it's even greater risk than those associated with obesity. Whoa! Now, loneliness is a spectrum like anything, and feeling alone sometimes maybe is not the same thing as feeling chronically alone and feeling like you have no friends and have no one that you're close to. I do feel like I have many people that I'm close to, and I do feel like I have many friends, but I also feel like many hours of the week I fall into a place of loneliness. And as I was looking at my life and looking at things that I do, looking at my addiction to social media, for example, and realizing it is my way of dealing with loneliness. And it's not even a good way of dealing with loneliness, as the study, or as the Surgeon General has said, because it's kind of like a social media interaction, a comment, a like, a dialogue in some discussion. It has enough of a social interaction feeling that it soothes some of the need for connection. It's like I have a rash, and going online is like scratching the rash and alleviating the itch, but it does nothing to solve the problem. It does nothing to make the rash go away. But it soothes the feeling enough that the pain is reduced enough that the motivation to go out and get into the world, to make a call to a friend, to make a plan, to look up a meetup, to just walk around in the city and interact with people. I'm amazed. So I've noticed that there are times when these little social media practices of mine keep me from, dying of loneliness, but only fed enough, only hydrated enough to keep going until the next time that it kicks in again. And I think that there's a lot of people in that situation where you feel like you're interacting with people all the time, and yet I'll look at my calendar and go, when was the last time I left the house? When was the last time I had a hug? And then when I do get out and I do interact with people in person, it's so much more significant. And I should preface this by saying, look, I actually think there's a massive value to online connections. I feel like connecting through digital means is a profound tool. Just like ice cream is a yummy dessert. But if you eat it all day, every day, your system is fucked up. And your health is messed up, and you start to crave sugar, and you're not sustaining a healthy existence. And the same is true with social media. The same is true with a digital replacement of interactions. I was a couple months ago, I was at my house watching a live Facebook live stream of an event that was happening just up the road in Encinitas. It was a community speaker series. And I was watching home alone, and the kind of like the absurdity of it started to really like just wear on me. Like, wait a minute. I'm a 5-10 minute drive from this location where all these people I know, the experience of watching something on screen compared to being in the audience is so different. It's not the same thing. And yet I kind of convinced myself that it was. But eventually just like the angst in me got so strong, I'm like, this is crazy. I gotta go. And because I'd had a cocktail, I called a Lyft, went up there, and I walked into the room as the speaker was dropping this profound statements that I would be like, oh my gosh, I needed to hear this. And then I hugged people that I knew, and then the next speaker said things I needed to hear. And it was almost like the sign of like, yeah, that tension you were feeling when you're home alone, the bliss feeling that you're having in this real social interaction, like there's a reason. You got to get a handle on this loneliness trap that you're in. And I think about, you know, even the sunset dancing that I've been doing lately, which I've been having so much fun with. But the reason I'm doing it is because I'm lonely. I'm in my house, I'm alone, and I could dance by myself on the sunset, but I turn on Facebook Live and I open up that digital pipeline to your world and others' worlds and the conscious experiences of others. And for those 30 minutes, I feel less alone. Actually, I feel profoundly connected. But eventually I get tired and the sun goes down and then that connection's gone. And it did not fill me in the same way that if I went and danced with all of you, it would feel. Again, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that. I'm just noticing that I am developing patterns and habits to deal with a deeper ailment. The symptom I'm dealing with, the ailment is loneliness. And it's not just me, I don't think. Clearly, half of the country says that they're lonely, and they're saying it's worse for young people. And the more you use social media, the worse it is. And clearly, as it's trending, we're getting more and more connected in these ways, thinking that we are not alone. And I'm not really sure what I think about moving forward with our technologies. I was nephew sitting last weekend, and I walked in on my nephew, who's 12, playing Fortnite, which doesn't sound like a video game name to me. It sounds like an explanation of how long you were on vacation. But anyway, he's playing. I'm watching him on screen. He's got a headset on and a microphone. And I can't hear anything that's going on in the game. All I can hear him going is like, okay, cool, grab that. All right, we'll come back around for you. You, go around the other side. Good job. I've got some extra potion if anybody needs it. Oh, I left you a super shield. You know, and I'm like, it was this super surreal experience that I know it's happened, but this is my first time seeing this of a human being physically alone, yet having social interactions through digital avatars through this game. And I was sitting in the room, you know, 2 feet away from him, and I was alone. I was lonely. I wanted to play. But I think that's different, isn't it? I don't know. Because I don't know if that's better or worse. Because they were talking to each other. They were joking with each other. They were hearing the vibrations of each other's voices. And he seems to love it. Like, will lie, cheat, steal to play more of this game. And he plays with strangers as well as with his friends and makes new friends. And then as he plays with a stranger, then he adds them as a friend. And there's something really beautiful about that. But I guess time will tell if this is scratching the itch or rubbing ointment on the rash. Clearly, it is a part of life. But one of the things that, as technology has totally augmented our lives and the way that we interact with each other and the world, like everything, like our GPS, we need to be aware of what we're losing in the process of all of these advantages and all of these conveniences. So I guess I just want to say that I'm alone. Sometimes I'm lonely. And I'm going to try to be aware of that more often. And I'm going to try to be more open to interactions with people who also feel loneliness and alone. I think I had this, like when Ani started talking and she was explaining this loneliness epidemic, I in my head I associated it with like depression, with like, you know, almost like a sadness or a weakness or not that depression is a weakness, but you know, and the more I thought about it, the more I realized I think it's very different. It's a condition that we can work through, we can be aware of, and we can reach out, and we can find tools and find communities beyond our digital ones, maybe using our digital ones to organize so we can interact more. So I look forward to seeing you more in the flesh, giving real hugs. In the meantime, I will enjoy these connections more than anything else, except real hugs. So thank you for being here and alleviating my loneliness and supporting me in physical and digital ways. Thank you. I love you. Welcome. I'm Halcyon. This is Hug Nation. I want to talk about the light side of narcissism. I was in a conversation this weekend about narcissism and about people who might be narcissists. And while I don't believe myself to be a narcissist, and I'll say that I'm talking about narcissism, the trait, more so than the clinical narcissism of, I can't remember the terminology difference, but I think that there is a scale of narcissism outside of the clinical narcissistic personality disorder. That's what it is. You know, the degree in which you are self-focused and oblivious to others, or the degree in which you place importance over yourself over others. And there was a time in my life when I felt like I was much higher on the narcissist scale, where I was much less tolerant of other people's demands on my time. I was more oblivious to other people's needs. I was more self-centered and selfish in the way I walked in the world. And through many years and many things, such as gifting and realizing that, you know, alleviating someone else's burden or helping someone else makes me feel good, this kind of line between me and they started to get a little blurrier for me, and I feel like I am far less narcissistic now. Not, I'm still on the spectrum, but not in a need to be hospitalized way. But I was explaining that there's a part of narcissism, or a part of a self, the light side of it, I think, is self-love. And the way that I describe it is, when you start to see yourself as part of the one, when you recognize that there is, you know, this divine oneness to the universe, and you are a part of it, you are simply experiencing a fragmented conscious experience of this one, but you are a part of it. You are totally interconnected to all things. However, even though I feel I am part of the one, my conscious experience and is this body, my perceptions, my sensations are this body, the control over, I am the steward of the divine when it comes to this body. This is the cell in the organism that I am in charge of keeping healthy and keeping functional and growing and healing and playing my part in the massive oneness of it all. And so I think it requires a degree of self-love, whether you call it narcissism or otherwise, to honor the divine, to honor the temple, not as a isolated thing that you honor it at the expense of the other, but recognizing that this is my, I'm the steward of this, and I need to take care of this, because everything else in the world is a lot more effort for me to control, if not impossible. However, I do have quite a bit of control over what happens to this organism, to this physical body, to this mind, to these thoughts. This is my classroom. Well, this is my seat. The classroom is everything. And so I don't feel ashamed to say that, yes, I am self-centered. I am self-focused. I am self-loving. Not better than anyone else, not more important than anyone else. Simply, I have more control. And so it is a more important use, or more valuable, more impactful use of my energy and attention to work on this. Since I am connected to everything, anything that I work on this and hurts someone else, it also hurts this. So there's a safety net. Like, if I get too selfish and it hurts people's feelings, their hurt is my hurt. The suffering is shared. So it keeps that balance. And so in that way, I feel like there is a healthy narcissism. There is a healthy selfishness. It's also the way I look at service. You know, when you feel that connection to all things, when you get into a state of following your truth and your path and your purpose, then you can be of service from a place of following your bliss. I think that every person, every spiritual path, when you get to your core and you strip away your shit and you find yourself truly listening to your heart, you must find a way to be of service. And so when you give your gifts, it is from a place of wanting to make yourself happier, to make yourself more joyful, to make yourself more fulfilled. And in doing so, you make the world a better place. You have no choice. So, yes, I can be a little self-absorbed. And you're welcome. I hope that you spend time being a little self-absorbed too. Because all the cells in this human organism are important. And if we all keep ourselves healthy, then we can thrive. Thank you. I love you.